glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ. In our early morning service, we've been looking at the teachings of Jesus. And one of the things that Jesus was very famous for, wasn't it, was teaching in parables. And so here we have Jesus teaching his disciples in parables. Now, some people think that Jesus was teaching in parables so that people wouldn't understand what it was that he was saying. So that would be kind of like a judgment, right? If Jesus speaks in parables and people don't understand the word of the Lord, then that would be judgment from God. They can't hear the word of the Lord and they can't repent and turn to the Lord and live. Do you know what I mean? So some people wondered why it was that Jesus spoke in parables. Well, Jesus did speak in parables, and his parables were not understandable to the people. So the disciples have to come to Jesus in verse 36 and ask him to explain the parables to them. Jesus did speak in parables, but the purpose of speaking in the parables was to show who he was to the people of Israel. Notice with me verse 35. So was fulfilled what was spoken through the prophet, I will open my mouth in parables, I will utter hidden things hidden since the creation of the world. Jesus' teaching in parables is fulfillment of the scripture. Does that make sense? For an early person, like for a first century Jewish person, somebody who was living in the time of Jesus, somebody who knew their Bible back to front, here's one for you, little kiddlios. Did you know that a Jewish person, a person in Jesus' day who was a Jew, had memorized the first five books of the Bible and all the Psalms by the time they were 11? That's pretty incredible, eh? Yeah, you can turn them off if you want to. You can turn them. Do what you need to do. No, you have to get a bit closer, brother. It's a parable. Like Jesus, you have to get close to Jesus if you want Jesus to do anything for you, yeah? That's cool, you can turn that one off as well. I don't mind it if you want to make me sweat, bro. Yeah, that's how you know that I'm working, right? When I'm dripping the sweat while I'm preaching the word, you go, yeah, that's good, he's preaching. Yeah, you got him. So if you were a first century Jewish person who knew your Bible, the idea would be that when Jesus comes along and he starts speaking in parables, you were meant to say, oh, that's the Messiah, that's Jesus, that's the King, that's the teacher who will teach us all things about the kingdom of God. Because there is a prophecy in Psalm 78 verse 2 which says, I will open my mouth in parables, I will utter things hidden since the creation of the world. But the people didn't trust in Jesus, did they? They didn't listen to Jesus. They crucified Jesus, yeah? Okay. And you know, and even in our day, many people can hear the teachings of Jesus, many people in our own communities, right? They hear the teachings of Jesus, many people in our own churches, yeah? They hear the teachings of Jesus, but they don't obey the teachings of Jesus. They hear what Jesus says, but they don't do what Jesus says to do. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And so then we can become confused about that. We can ask the question, but why? Why is this going on? Why is it that people can hear the word of Jesus and yet not respond? How is it that Jesus can be Lord and God and King and sovereign over all the earth? And how is it that he can speak his word? And even though God spoke the word and the light came into being, and even though God spoke the word and the creation came into being, and even though God spoke the word and the animals and the creatures came into being, and even though he spoke the word and the birds and the trees and the fields came into being, when Jesus speaks the word, why is it that people don't believe in the word? Well, here's an interesting point for you. Some people would ask the question, does this then prove that Jesus is not the King, that Jesus is not God the Son, that Jesus is not the Lord? Well, no, actually, because this psalm that this prophecy is taken from in verse 35 is the story of the people of God's rejection of God. You know how when you read the Old Testament, most of the time the people of God are rebelling against God? Yeah? They're grumbling against God? Yeah, they go out, he leads them out from Egypt, he leads them out, and they come to the Red Sea, and all the people start crying and complaining because they see Pharaoh's army behind them, and they say, why did you bring us out here to die? Better that we had died back there in peace. Well, we're all going to die at the sword. But God delivers them anyway. And then he takes them into the wilderness, and they're in the desert, and they have no food or no water, and they come and they complain, and they say, why did you bring us out here to die? We could have just died as easily back in Egypt. What's wrong with you, Moses, you cruel, twisted man? You're bringing us all out here to die in the wilderness. And then God gives them the manna from heaven, and he gives them the water from the rock. Do these stories sound familiar? Yeah. And then Moses goes up on the mountain, and the Lord comes down to the mountain, and the Lord is speaking to Moses on the mountain and giving them the law of God. And the people who are down waiting at the bottom of the mountain, they say, oh, this God is too terrifying. We don't want to go anywhere near this God. He's too scary for us. You go, Moses, you be with God, but we don't want to be with God. Do you remember that story? And what about the one where Moses is up on the mountain for 40 days, right? And the people go, oh, where has Moses gone? He's left us and he's abandoned us, and here we are. We're bored out of our brain. I know. Somebody make us a golden calf. Somebody make us an idol, and we'll worship the idol, and we'll have a big feast and a party and an orgy, and we'll just all get drunk and just... Do you remember that story? And then they go into the land. And again, they reject the law of the Lord, and they become like the people in the land. Do you remember the story of the judges? You know, the Samson, these judges that God raises up, and Deborah, and Barak, and all these judges that God raises up, and the people are rescued by God, but then they turn to sin. Do you know the stories? Yeah. And then God gives them a king. He gives them a king named David. And he gives them the land, and they have peace from all their enemies, and they're the most prosperous nation on the earth. And he gives them Solomon, and Solomon builds this glorious temple, and people come from all the nations of the world to hear of the wisdom of Solomon that he's received as a gift from God, and he's given to us in his word. And the people turn from his word and turn to idols, and so God sends them into exile. Do you know that story? The story of Israel is the story of the people of God rejecting their God time and time and time again. And so when Jesus comes and he speaks the word of God and people reject him for speaking the word of God, you know what that proves? He really must be God, because that's exactly what they did all through their history. Yeah? That's why when we see Jesus and hear of Jesus and we see the people respond to Jesus, not only do the Old Testament scriptures prophesy him, he would come and teach in parables, but they also prove him as people reject him, as people reject him. Now, I don't know how it is for you, but I find it very discouraging when people reject Jesus. You know, when people who are in the church and you think, oh, this is a person who knows Jesus and loves Jesus, and then they make bad choices and they walk away from God, and then they walk away from God's people, and then they live sinful lives. Is that discouraging for you? I find that very, very discouraging. I find that very discouraging. Do you know what else I find very discouraging? I find it really discouraging when there are people who are in the church, especially leaders in the church, who fall into sin. Do you find that discouraging? Leaders who we think should know better, but who fall into sin, who are in the church. I find that very, very discouraging. And one of the other things that I find very discouraging, I'm not sure about you, is that there seems to be more people outside the church than inside the church. Is it like that in your community, that there are more people outside the church than there are inside the church? I find that very discouraging. Do you? Yeah, I find that very discouraging. Well, can I give you the good news today? Jesus is giving these parables to encourage his disciples, because what we experience is what they experienced. But that doesn't change the fact that Jesus is Lord, and that his kingdom will come, and that his will be done, and that God will make all things right, and that we belong to God, and we are the proof of God's faithfulness, even as others who reject him are proof that Jesus is God, because they have rejected God from the beginning. These are to encourage us. How do they encourage us? Well, the first story, wasn't it, was the story of somebody who goes out and sows good seed in their farm. You guys familiar with farming? Yeah. How would you love it if you had sowed all the good seed in your farm and then an enemy had come along and sowed weeds through your farm? That would be pretty angry, right? Yeah, it's a horrible thing to do. And Jesus tells this story. And the people come to Jesus and they say, well, what should we do? Should we pull out the weeds? But because he loves his people, he says, no. If you do that, you might accidentally hurt some of the good seed. Leave it till the end and I'll sort it out at the end, right? No, I think this is kind of good news, because it means that you don't have to sort people out and I don't have to sort people out. Why? Because God will sort people out. And this is what Jesus says. He says, be encouraged in this. God is God, and in the end it will all be okay. He says, this is what the parable means, that the one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man, is Jesus. And the field is the world. And the good seed stands for the people of the kingdom. Now, isn't it encouraging that you and I are standing here? Well, I'm standing and you're sitting. You look far more comfortable than me. Did you know back in the days of Jesus, it was the rabbi who used to sit to teach and everybody else had to stand? I know. If your congregation was really annoying you, you'd preach the longest sermon in the world, eh? But if you were happy with them, then you'd preach a short one so they didn't have to stand for too long. But because I'm standing, I'm happy to preach a long sermon because you're sitting there comfortable. But don't you think it's encouraging that in spite of everything that's happened and everything that's going on, here you are. Here you are. Here you are. Why? Clearly you are good seed. Clearly you are good seed. The good seed stands for the people of the kingdom. The weeds are the people of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest at the end is the end of the age, and the harvesters are the angels. Now, this is what it means. At the end of the age, the weeds are all pulled up and they're burned. Because the Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil, and they will throw them into the blazing furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Whoever has ears to hear, listen. The good news is, we're here for 70 years, right? Maybe 80 if we're lucky, and then we're gone. We're a breath, we're a vapor. But at the end of the age, when the Lord Jesus Christ returns in glory and his heavenly angels with him, we will be raised from the dead glorious as Jesus Christ was raised from the dead glorious, and we will rule and we will reign upon the earth with the Father forever. Our short and temporary afflictions are nothing compared to the glory that will be revealed in us, that we will inherit. And all of those people that we looked upon and we thought, oh, they can get away with anything, and oh, they're so successful, and oh, they care nothing for the Lord Jesus and his people, and they seem to be favoured. We will never see them or hear from them. They're a breath and they're a vapour. They're fuel for the fire. They're gone. Don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged, but be encouraged. You are good seed. You are good seed. You are the seed of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will live and reign with him for eternity. That's the gospel. That's the gospel. Now, is it because you're a good person? Well, you might be good, brother, but I know he's not. No, I'm just joking. No. But it's not because we're good people. I'm not a good person, and you're not a good person. If I asked you to name your sins, you probably wouldn't tell me, and I wouldn't tell you my sins. But we know our sins, right? We know how sinful we are. We know how many ways we've failed. This has nothing to do with being good people or not. It has to do with grace. The Lord Jesus Christ has sent his word into our hearts, and we've received it, and we put our trust in him. He suffered and died for our sins, so that we don't have to suffer and die for our sins. That's the gospel of grace. That's the gospel of grace. And that's why we're here, because of the gospel of grace. But the second thing that can be discouraging for us and could have been discouraging for Jesus' disciples is that they were so few. You think we're few? Mate, we number more than the first disciples. We're a bigger church than Jesus' first church. Jesus had 12 disciples, right? How many of us are there here? And we can breed disciples, man. That's awesome. Jesus couldn't breed disciples. We can make more. Yeah? For Jesus, there were so few of them. And what does Jesus say to them? How could they not be discouraged? They didn't have a building to meet in. The religious people would kick them out of the temple. They only had homes, and even their homes were targeted, and they were targeted by persecution. How discouraging. Except that Jesus says this. He says that the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and put into his field. Remember, the field is the world? Yeah. And the mustard seed, what is it about the mustard seed that's so distinctive? It's tiny. It's very, very small. But it grows. It grows and it grows. And eventually it becomes the largest of the trees in the garden, and the birds of the air come and make their home in it. And brothers and sisters, we are so fortunate to stand 2,000 years after the death of Christ. Those first disciples of Jesus did not have the history that we have, right? When you look back on our history, we see these 12 men and a few women, all of whom were martyred, all of whom were killed for their faith, right? And we see in our age the fullness of the kingdom, not the fullness, but a full picture of the kingdom that has spread to the farthest reaches of the globe. There are more people who follow the Lord Jesus Christ today than there are than follow any other teacher or any other God or any other savior or any other person. More people follow Jesus than anyone else. We get to see what they had to believe by faith. We see the facts, what they believed by faith. But it's extraordinary. His kingdom has continued unchecked for 2,000 years. Jesus is the longest reigning monarch in the history of the universe, and his reign hasn't finished yet. Through fire and famine, through persecution and war, across cultures, between people who are rich and people who are poor, the kingdom of Christ has covered the earth, and it is still growing. Did you know that just last week, more than 20 million people in China alone became followers of Jesus Christ? 20 million people. It can be very hard for us if we just live in our tiny little bubble right here in Willerton, in our little church, to see that the kingdom of God is growing, but it is exploding across the planet. At the turn of the century, last century, like 100, 120 years ago, almost everyone who knew Jesus Christ lived in Europe. But in just 120 years, the whole earth has heard of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the gospel of the kingdom of God has exploded all over the earth. And there is revival, shaking the nations of the world. We can't see it. But it's true. It's the way things are. It's extraordinary. And you and I are a part of that kingdom. You and I are a part of that kingdom. Don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged. You know, I wonder how many cultures have died out in the last 2,000 years. I wonder how many tribes have disappeared. I wonder how many kingdoms have fallen. My country will fall. My language will change. No one speaks the same English they spoke 200 years ago. My family will be forgotten. No one will remember me. Name more than 20 of the first disciples of Jesus. You can't do it, can you? They're all forgotten. We'll all be forgotten. But we're not to be discouraged, because the kingdom of Christ will never be forgotten and will never end. And this is the place where we have our home, in the Lord Jesus Christ and in his kingdom. And in his kingdom. You know, the other thing that's often so discouraging, it's sin in the church, isn't it? Sinful leaders, people that we trust who betray us and let us down. Even just last week, one of the people who, when I was studying at university, a Christian leader who I read many of his books, he was a very famous man, because what he did was he started these communities all over the world where disabled people and able-bodied people were living together in community and living the gospel in community, loving one another and serving one another. And everybody thought that he was a great man of God. And then just last week, we heard the news that he had been I don't want to say it in front of the kids, but do you know what I mean? You know what I mean? Yeah. And so 6 women already have come forth and told about how, yeah. And it can be so discouraging, can't it? But Jesus tells a story. He tells the story of a woman who has 27 kilograms worth of bread. That's a lot of bread, right? Because it's meant to symbolize the world. And he has this tiny little bit of yeast. Yeah. And in the Bible, yeast normally means wrong teaching. So the yeast of the Pharisees, the wrong teaching of the Pharisees, usually means sin. Usually means sin. But in the context of Jesus' story, the yeast is the people of the kingdom of God in the world, who live the teachings of Jesus in the world, who, even though they're so small and insignificant, and even though they're fading away, and even though they seem to be the smallest number and there are so many people, and even though their leaders are sinful and failing in so many ways, these people who live the teachings of Jesus and the kingdom fill the world with the gospel of grace. Don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged by sinful leaders who fall, because I'll tell you a very, very true story. For every one leader that is unfaithful, how many do you think there are that remain faithful? Hundreds? Thousands? Millions? Yeah? For every one person that you see who falls into sin and fails, look around you. How many people remain faithful? Isn't that good news? Be encouraged, brothers. Be encouraged. You know, because when we're discouraged, that's often when we fall into sin ourselves. That's where we fall. We might not fall into the sins of, you know, adultery or idolatry or murder or those other big sins. You know the sins that we fall into? Faithlessness. We stop trusting in the promises of God. Prayerlessness. We stop seeking the face of God. Hedonism. Hedonism means we seek after pleasure. So we look for pleasure in TV, or we look for pleasure in food, or we look for pleasure in Facebook, rather than finding every word that proceeds from the mouth of God to feed us daily. Give us this day our daily bread. Man shall not live on bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. We turn to forgetting to read our Bibles, which is where we find encouragement from God for us. Don't be discouraged, brothers. Stay faithful. Stay prayerful. Stay reading your Bibles. Stay rocking up to church. Keep sharing the word of God with others. Keep preaching the gospel. Keep living for the glory of God. Keep working to do good among God's people. Keep praying. Don't give up. Don't be discouraged. Because one day the Lord Jesus Christ will return, and all those who are his faithful people will inherit eternal life and shine like the sun forever. That's your destiny. That's your destiny. And even though here in Australia it seems to be that the gospel is so ineffective, that doesn't disprove the Lord Jesus Christ. But in fact, it proves him. If people killed and rejected Jesus when he walked on the earth, mate, why would they not kill and reject him now when he's not here except by the Spirit? And even in Jesus' own followers, Judas betrayed him, right? He betrayed him to death. Jesus was surrounded by sinners. His best friend Peter denied even knowing him. Don't be discouraged, brothers and sisters, but be encouraged. He knows your sufferings and he knows your struggles. And do you know why you go through the struggles that you go through? Because he trusts you to be faithful in the midst of it all. You are the trophy of his grace that he displays to the world. People look upon you and they go, why? How? What? And they see in you the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged. What do you think the message is from the Lord Jesus for us today? Don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged. And in your discouragement, if you are discouraged, don't let yourself fall into sin. Don't do it. Instead, turn to Christ. Come to Christ. Tell him how discouraged you feel. And turn your discouragement to prayer. Keep before you the hope of the resurrection and the life of the age to come. Keep that hope ever before you. And look to the far winds. Look to the north and the south and the east and the west and see that the nations of the earth are coming, are flocking, are running to the throne of the Lord Jesus Christ, even in our day, and bowing before him in worship. Rejoice, rejoice in this. And you are his people. We are his people. Join me in standing, would you? And let's declare this faith, this glorious faith, this faith that saves us.